Thank you. Next we have on item number 4D for the audit committee. Would you nominate Lauren?
Yeah, I'll be the chair. He's the chair. I'll be you because you're the chair.
Cool.
So, you or not?
Why are you voting for me?
To decide the functions of the audit committee.
Okay. The audit committee has two non-LFP members elected from each station. The National Audit Committee has two non-LSB members elected from each station and one director member.
Non-PNB members.
Non-PNB members. I said non-director, which means non-PNB members.
Yeah, correct.
And one PNB director from each station is selected by the PNB to be on the audit committee. Mm-hmm. That makes a committee of 15 members plus, I suppose, unofficially the CFO. Right. And the ED are also members of that committee, though they normally don't participate, or at least in my experience. The audit committee's basic responsibility for a specific corporation is to select the auditor every year, or at least make a recommendation of an auditor every year to the PNB. Then during the year of the audit, during the year the committee is supposed to do oversight of the audit and make sure it's on schedule. At the end of the audit, the audit committee is supposed to accept the audit, which we did last year. And also interview the auditor and go over the management letter. So the audit committee's actual tasks are fairly specific and fairly well defined. Okay.
What? You've got 90 seconds.
I'm good.
Thank you, Brad.
And so, Madam Chair, point of information. I have a question. Do I understand then that if tonight there are only two nominees for items D through I, that there will be no election required? But on the other hand, if there are more than two nominees, or in some cases one nominee and so forth, three nominees in one case, that then an election will be required. That's my understanding of the agenda. I'm correct.
Yes.
So the first item of business now would be to find out for item D, for example, if there are two or more nominees. If there are two, we move on. Is that correct?
Correct.
Right. Point of information, I believe that these elections are specified to be STD elections.
Yes. If we have to have an election.
Yeah. Right.
I think it's IRB. If we have to have
I nominate Brad.
Oh, okay.
Are we taking nominations right now?
Yes.
Are we still talking about committees?
Yeah, we should have
nominated.
Michael? The procedure in the governance committee that we suggested was that as we got to the description of any committee that required an election, we would have the election at that point.
Okay.
But we don't need it if there's only two nominees.
Right.
So we have one
nomination.
Lauren?
So let's do it.
Yes, we are.
Nominate
Lauren.
Lauren?
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 Lauren? Lauren?
Lauren? Lauren? Lauren?
Lauren?
Lauren? Lauren? Lauren?
Lauren?
Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren?
Lauren? Lauren? Lauren?
Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? Lauren? It's not a requirement for the committee.
Okay, thank you.
Point of information. And is it not also the case that members of the audit committee shall not be members of the finance committee? They have separate membership.
Right.
But if you plan to be on finance, don't go on audit and vice versa.
Are there any other nominees?
Are there nominees for the audit committee?
We have two nominees. If there are none,
we can move on.
Then congratulations.
Brenda.
I'd like to nominate Michael.
The election committee
like most of the other committees, is populated by two directors and two, so I guess one director, two LSP members.
Two and two.
Okay, we only have 15 members, so I'm not sure how that came about, but
I
guess we could have 20 then. Depending on who the P&B puts on. It's two LSP members, and one or two directors.
So what do we do?
So we can put two LSP members on. I've been serving on it as an LSP member, and Fred has been serving on it as an LSP member. And the committee in the past has worked on trying to move the election process forward, drafting job descriptions for the national and local election supervisors, helping formulate a request for proposals for drafting requests and proposals for companies that would constitute the validating. The PNB has directed that the election going forward, we would use e-voting with the opt-out provision that you can get a paper ballot if you want. And so that would require a careful analysis of companies that do provide e-voting services to make sure that we can get something that fits their SPV voting requirements.
Thank you.
So it's a heavily working committee, I guess, I'm saying.
Good.
Okay. Do we have nominees? Oh, I'm sorry. Steve had his hand. Kim, turn down.
I nominate Fred Blair for election. Okay.
I nominate Michael.
Wait, Michael Novick.
Are there any other nominations? Lauren?
I'd like to nominate Fred Glenn.
I'd respectfully decline. There's something else that I think I would be more consulted with. That would be coming down the list.
Are there any other nominees?
Congratulations.
Okay, the next one is the Governance Committee. Steve, do you have a description?
No.
Is there a description for the Governance Committee?
John?
The Governance Committee...
Can you speak into the mic?
Yeah. The Governance Committee, unlike our own, does not form the agenda or help form an agenda, and such a consequence of... I'm told that the B&B agenda formation is a little slower than ours, and it often takes an hour or so to get the agenda thing going. What the B&B Governance Committee does do is discuss governance issues, including bylaws and amendments. And occasionally, when there's a governance problem at a station, then it takes that up. And so that's pretty much what it does. And it doesn't. Somebody needs to raise, and maybe we'll take this up in governance, that we need to try to facilitate that. So that's, I would say, the description of governance is top to answering questions.
Thank you, Dr. Wenger. Nominee? Steve?
Yeah, I'll be kind of John Wenger.
Yeah, I'll let you do it again.
Ken?
No, I've got it.
Okay.
I've been speaking.
If there's more than two nominees, then we have a vote for two seats.
So two seats need to be filled by the PM.
Yes, there's only two nominees.
Correct.
Are there any more nominees? Thank you, Chuck and
Inclusion
Director. We're going to be having public comment.
When?
After?
Not now.
Okay, after the election. Committee of Inclusion Director member. Is there anybody already from the Committee of Inclusion that speaks up? Lauren?
I'm Well, I've raised my hand because I'd like to be interested in convening the committee of inquiry.
Wonderful.
Is there a description?
Do you want to give a description?
Oh, so basically what he does is work with the management to make sure that there is enough diversity in terms of the elections, people who are elected, and also the staff and different levels, the local and national levels, in terms of including different genders, different ethnicities, racial languages, and that we do have, a good study of the demographics that we are serving at local and nationally, so we can comply with the CPV requirement, basically.
Thank you. And so Lawrence has self-nominated. Michael?
I just wanted to point out that there are actually five committees of inclusion. In other words, even though this is a PNB committee, there's a committee of inclusion at each of the five stations, trying to make sure that the programming, staffing, and community service of each of the stations reflects the diversity of the communities they serve, and in particular underserved communities are better represented. So I'd like to nominate Ariana Gladney as a listener member.
Point of information, why don't we do the rec down here as well?
Of course, we just do
the way we're in.
Director members. The director members.
The
are there any
other
nominees for director members?
Who's nominated?
Lawrence.
Lawrence.
Okay. No other nominees. Thank you. Our next now is the Committee of Inclusion for Listener Members. Is there a Macy?
Can I point out, I'm sorry, to clarify, once the committee comes to the committee, you can add additional members to the Committee of Inclusion. So people who are not on the LSP are welcome to join that committee as members once the committee constitutes.
Which we're doing tonight.
Somebody will convene it and it will be an open meeting to the public.
Three nominees.
Ariana, Lawrence.
I'd like to nominate Ron Speaker's spot.
Ron.
Okay.
Great. Other nominees?
Can I nominate Roger?
Programming committee. No more than two nominees. Is there a programming committee description?
This is the national programming, right?
Right.
Because we still have it on the local programming. Deals with national programming issues. It didn't actually meet all last year, so it will be doing what the committee, depends on what the committee is, what it will deal with. But basically it deals with national programming issues.
The PNB reduced it to a task force last year, and I think they decided to reinstate it as a committee this year.
I'm not sure if it's
Yeah.
And
Are you accepting nominations at this point?
Yes.
I'd like to nominate Fred Klender for the programming committee.
Fred, do you?
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, it was when he did it.
Pardon me?
It was when he did it. The
program. I nominate Steve Clyde.
Are there any other nominees?
You're willing to serve on that as well?
Thank you. Any other nominees? Congratulations. Thank you. Okay, there are volunteer sign-ups for the Archives Task Force, volunteer sign-ups for the Affiliates Task Force, volunteer sign-ups for the Development Task Force.
Are those volunteer sign-ups restricted to LSU members or are the members of the public serve on those task forces?
As far as I know, on the Affiliates Task Force, there have been people who weren't LSB members who were on the Affiliates Task Force.
Steve?
Yeah, I have a question. When I signed up a year ago for the Archive Task Force, which never met, and Ryan Shazer was all aware of his existence by talking about it. So I'm not sure if someone actually does and how it functions before we...
Did you ever hear him serve on the Archive Task Force?
She's not
here. Okay.
Kim? Well, no, there is no member here who served on it, and that's because in my history it's never met, and Steve is correct.
And there, Brian would
know. Yeah, there is no, I mean, if there is some overwhelming energy to do something, it has to sort of start from scratch, and I'm not sure that there's much enthusiasm to do that.
Okay.
And certainly,
thank you. Secretary Dunning, the sign-up sheet is on the clipboard. Mm-hmm. Lydia?
There are two directors that have signed up for the Archives Task Force, Doreen Roberts from New York and Janice Lane Ewart, who's an affiliate director. Mm-hmm. And so, they just signed up.
Just at the DC meeting.
Okay. So they would be the people to contact, or I can have them contact you. I think it'll depend on how many people join that the committee. So if you're interested, I would certainly urge you to do so.
I am just in the qualified room with this thing. So
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just a point of
questions?
Oh, wait.
We're in public comment.
Just one more comment about this. Anybody can sign up at any point.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. I just need to make a real quick statement. I have to leave the meeting.
Is it?
Just give me 60 seconds. Coming up here, an item, Roman numeral 4, JKL, Development Task Force Volunteer Sign-Ups. That is putting the cart before the horse.
The P&B Task Force is the P&B
Task Force. And the second thing is, okay, I'm just going to have to leave now because I have another conflict, another thing to go through here. So to that end, when we get to the Governance Committee report, that will be a motion originally about the governance by Michael Novick, so I suggest that he handle that discussion when it comes time.
Thank you.
Are we in public comment?
We've got public comment and we've had an
How much time do we have for that?
We have 12 and a half minutes.
Good. And how much per speaker do we have?
No, 2 minutes. 2 minutes.
Madam, well, don't want to start that. How much time per speaker?
Okay. 2 minutes.
A long day. 2 minutes. Okay, it's a long day. Oh, good. Okay.
Hi. Since 2000, I have been in committee. First, it was to accept the bylaws of the committee. I did a lot of work on that. I sacrificed a lot of my life for that committee. And that was almost 2 years. John was there. Roger was there. Other people were there. After that, since then, I have been on the programming committee, on the PIC committee, on the IBC committee, on the outreach committee, on other subcommittees.
And now I'm going to limit it to the finance and the finance and the governance committee. And I may be dropping in up there at another committee. But I urge everybody here to seriously, I don't care what your argument is, whether you understand or not, we need to populate these committees. And it's urgent. We want to start the year right. The fact that the GM has just up and left is evidence of how little control we've got for our local affairs. We've got to get our house in order. We have to get the right person in there. We got to get rid of Alan Minsky. We got to get rid of Ian Master. And I'm not going to give up that fight. And we have to give preference to the current strategy programming. Reinforce it. Give it its development backup. And then I wanted to say that I'm not surprised, actually. I'm actually happy. The GM did not take the action he was supposed to. I misunderstood that. I thought he didn't take the action because he was busy trying to get out of town. But actually, there were five candidates and they decided not to violate the intent, the goodwill intent, and the hard work of the GM search. So the PB search, I want to know more about it. I don't think we got a good.
Thank you.
We did not hear much about it. Thank you,
Phyllis. Hi, I wanted the new members of the PNB Audit Committee to know that the duties and responsibilities of the Audit Committee on a California nonprofit are very detailed in California law. You just need to Google the California Nonprofit Accountability Act. And it will tell all of your duties and powers and responsibilities. One of the things you'll see there is that staff cannot be on that committee.
How do you say staff?
My interpretation is that in the real world, staff means people who are on the payroll.
Okay. last time I checked.
But because it's a California law, our members should pay attention to the people who are elected from the other stations to see if there's maybe a paid programmer who has accidentally been appointed to that committee at another station.
And the committee you were
talking about? The National Audit.
On the local LSB committee, I hope there will be an announcement repeated more than once, which hasn't been in the past, inviting those members who don't ordinarily know about or come to these meetings to take part. So we don't have all the usual suspects again. Not that they're bad or anything, but we need to have some press corps and other representation. And we study every year, we'll have announcements, and usually they haven't taken place. Announcements inviting a member or listener to take part in the local committee, not the being a dignity.
Right.
And also these committees need to function and report back to the LSB.
And notice meeting.
For example, and notice meeting indeed. Now the program oversight committee has not met in more than a year. Mm-hmm. Has not met. And considering programming being one of the main, if not the main issue, we're all concerned about, that's pretty curious and alarming. On the other hand, the Outreach Committee is sort of a thing unto itself. It does things, not necessarily bad things, mind you, but things without any reference to the LRC. So these are two extremes that may need to be looked at. One is they should function as support, as advisory to the LSB. So we don't waste a lot of time in the meetings either on agenda or other items. And on this matter of the non-forum meetings, I went to both of them. There were two of them. I forget the date. He had one date here. But both of them, they had very energetic discussions that took place. I'm not saying that to be an event, but they were maybe non-action meetings, but they weren't non-meetings. And indeed, we need to have the reference that such a meeting was called for. I'm not going to repeat myself. And so the motion had, it's good as far as it went. But one shouldn't confuse participation and activity with actions.
and these were active participatory meetings.
Thank you, Gabriel. Are there any other public comments? Anybody else want to say another thing?
Can I ask the audience a question?
I think we were going to get another chance, but I'll be on Judge Judy tomorrow in full court of regalia.
Oh, wow. Oh, you got a great picture.
Are you
doing a big
suit?
Right,
being suit.
It will be a digital period of public comment. There are digital periods of public comment.
Yeah. Just a note to the audience, to the community that has showed up today. I want to express gratitude for myself, and I'm sure the whole board for your attendance, but I'm seeing many new faces, so which is great. I didn't notice any particular new outreach via the airwaves, and I was just curious if anyone wanted to share how they heard about the meeting and decided to show up, because this is what we need to foster in the community. Thank you. If anyone would care to, for another public comment, you say, hey, I found out about the meeting from my neighbor, an on-air announcement or something, because it was just a refreshing surprise to see so many new faces.
An on-air announcement.
Are there any other members of the public? We still have a little bit of time. That'll do. There's time if you wanted to continue.
Mary's just saying.
Nancy, you wanted to say something?
You are the fourth person in the last 15 seconds who's asking that.
I hear them looking at you and asking your name. Okay. I wanted to urge every single one of you. By the way, I wanted to say something. It is very stupid that we spend so much time trying to figure out what Robin Sewell says about a meeting that actually physically took place. It's not a ghost meeting. People did take a roll call. It did happen. I couldn't be here. I had a conflict that day. But 12 or 13 people showed up. That is reality. That is not an euphemism. So why so much time has been given to one person? I think it shows the weakness of every single one of you. Every single one of you are so weak. This cannot be tolerated. We should know that every meeting, regardless of one person or 1,500 people show up, must be recorded, regardless, because roll call obviously has to be called, and that's the procedure. Now we'll conclude our public comments. Is there any more public comments? Harry?
There'll be another chance, right?
Yes. The other side of what was just said is that each member has individual rights. And I thank the board for respecting the rights of each member.
So the next item on the agenda is item number 8, the P&B report. So if we can hear reports back from our directors. The in-person meeting that happened in Washington, D.C., February 6th or 7th? February 7th and 8th, 9th? 6th to the 10th. February 6th to the 10th in Washington, D.C. We have Lydia.
Well, I've got to say, it was one of the most impressive sessions for public comment that I've heard. It was both members from listener members and LSV members, both from our Washington, D.C. station, WPFW, and also from WBAI. It was really impressive visual presentations, songs. I mean, it was quite amazing, and more importantly, it was very informative because of the various positions. As many of you know, there were there have been some questions because of the financial straits that the stations back east, because of not having, they're not privileged like we are, that we own our own station. They've had to leave, and they get, you know, they've had to leave for Hurricane Sandy at WBAI and at WPSW. They tore down the building, so, you know, so it's very, very difficult, as you can only imagine. And the resourcefulness of the LSB members and the extraordinary ideas that they have for growing listenership was really, really impressive to me. But there were also open session discussions on the LMAs, the local management agreements, which have been discussed in relation to WBAI. So I think that answered a lot of questions we had. We were fortunate enough to have one of our attorneys, most of you know John Krigler. He was not able to attend, but his partner was there, very well versed on the issue and answered many of the fundamental questions. Then there was a proposal, again in open session, around ethical underwriting, a proposal. There's a pilot program by our affiliate director that has been approved by the executive director, and so that became an energetic conversation, because it's something that actually the Pacifica National Board has been very remiss in not establishing some kind of a policy around underwriting. Some of it goes on unnoticed or less noticed, as happens at KPFT in Houston, and we don't have a policy, and that's like crazy. So at the very least, I thought that what was historic here was that we had a very open conversation about it. There are more pieces that need to be explored, because we need to, in my opinion, have the advice of a tax attorney. We have been looked at even because of affiliates, much less underwriting, but underwriting is an ongoing issue. There was an article in the LA Times this week about underwriting and CBS and how it's gotten into some difficulties. So the main thing is that we're talking about it, regardless of how we end up. It was an open, energetic discussion, not held in executive session, which I was very happy about, and that there was so much public participation. And so everything else, you can go online and listen to it. I think it's worth a listen. You go to kpftx.org, go to archives. Some of it was missing, you know, our election for officers and so forth, but it was a hanging Chad moment again. But please go online, listen to it. I urge you to also listen to some of the committee discussions. The value when I wasn't on the PMB was sitting on those committees and listening to people from the other stations. Yeah, it's regional commonalities as well as differences that help you to understand the situations at the other stations. We are a network. So, thank you.
Are there any other directors?
May we ask questions to the directors?
After.
Yeah.
Also was noted one of the discussions that we had here in Los Angeles with especially the black programmers, in terms of that something has to be done because of the black programming being preempted.
Right.
The fund drive, fair writing, the sense is that most of the national level are not in agreement in terms of, you know, doing the LMA. I think most of the people who were there too, they're looking for better options instead of, you know, trying to. And it really, it does have a lot of pros and cons, but at the end, the type of foundation that we are, it's very different. So I think it's, some of us are not in agreement with the LMA. And that's the
way. Explain what MLA is.
There are questions
asking.
Local management.
So people understand.
There'll be questions if you're doing public comment.
Yeah. Basically, it has to do with contracting with the different entities
they say like leasing. It's not exactly leasing, because that's what they say. But it's like providing the signal to another institution that will use their programming instead of using their programming of Pacifica. But you know, they cannot be raising funds, you know, for them, you know, things like that. I mean, there are things, you know, they cannot do, right? But if they want to put in a clause so that, you know, the option to sell or to buy, they can do it. So there are some of these institutions that could not access actually to the Pacific foundation radios because of their program, especially allegiance and things like that. So there are so many issues that you gotta really look into it in order to understand, you know, why it might not be the best option, and or maybe some people do think, you know, it's the best option. But personally, I don't think, you know. So that was one thing. And also, another thing we did took upon it was, you know, as you remember, you know, in terms of meeting the standards we need to make, you know, and serving the communities that are not served, especially, meeting the standards of the CTV. So we were also taking upon a new task force for developing, you know, the Spanish language programming, you know, with the different approaches and the help of everyone. But it's something that is going there. And so we're going to move on with the Spanish language programming. This time we're going to move on. Yeah. So please, those who want to join it, you know, are more than welcome. It's a good discussion, because it has to do not only with, you know, the people, you know, that we have to serve, but also a requirement, laws that we have to meet, you know, by California laws. You know,
inclusion.
Yeah, so it's corporation public broadcasting, you know, things like that. You know, we must meet, you know, as an institution that we are. So it's not only that, okay, we want to be inclusive, but we have to meet some laws.
Right. Thank you. Meet the law. Any other directives that you need?
Go ahead.
Do you have any
report
on
that?
Oh,
it's warm. Okay, so my report is, am I hot? Maybe nobody is.
No one is?
Okay.
Thank you, Doug.
My report is essentially, I provided, if you haven't gotten one, the state of the financials of the network of all five, and actually there's probably more than five units. There's the archives and the national office, so I think there's seven different units. So what I was surprised to hear from Brian DeChazo, who's the director of the archives,
National Archives,
that they're running a deficit this year.
Yeah,
so,
but it's
something that, you know, it has happened for a long time, and so. I asked if I could pass this information out, and I was told by the executive director that I could. So, and I'm glad I was able to, because I wanted to pass it out. And
can
in
you
regards,
tell us the percentage from
you have to look at it, because it's pretty detailed. Also, I motivated the audit committee's recommendations. And one of the audit committee's recommendations was to retain the auditor that conducted the audit for 2012 and 2013, and that was accepted. So we did retain the previous auditor. So that's going to happen, and that's about it. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep. We're expired on the time for this item, so if you want to extend time?
I extend time for 5 minutes.
Is there a second?
Thank you.
Any objection? Okay, go ahead.
This isn't good. The main reason for the archives problems right now are twofold. One, some of the stations are not paying their central services. Some are having difficulties. Our East Coast station, KPFA, owes them money. They could pay them. That's about half of what they owe. That's about half of what they need. And what Brian got was a very large grant to do some things, and it's a matching grant. So it's this matching grant that is not where he wants it to be. And unfortunately, in our budget, we overestimated what we thought we'd get, what we'd be bringing in, and of course, it's not coming in. So that's some more money that he's underperforming. I'll answer any of your questions later, Bella. And I'm not sure you have all the CPB rules correctly, Rodrigo, because our problems are not having open meetings. That's a real big problem. We're not getting docs for anything else.
That's part of it.
That's the main thing. That's the big thing.
Well, KPFA is a problem, right?
KPFA?
No.
Not that I know of. KPFA is...
I think they're not be talking.
But
it is a movie there.
You can pick up the ones together.
As usual, we didn't get as much accomplished as we wanted, and I guess that's it.
Thank you. Rodrigo?
Well, I just wanted to add that...
The microphone.
Yeah, well, tomorrow there will be an open session, so you can listen to kpftx.org.
What time?
That'll be 8:30 p.m.
I'm
assuming it's probably 5:30 our time. So it's and some of the items. So the sketch to discuss right here is, you know, the recording of the executive sessions, you know, which is a discussion that's going on right there too. And another item important, you know, the hiring of general managers, you know, that now we are fully, I think three stations don't have general managers, right? You know, like permanent, right? So, among other discussions, so it's worth to say, so, or to listen to it.
Thanks. 6 minutes left for the extension. Would you like to say anything? Okay. Committees? You go on to committees, PMB committees, report?
I'm sorry, don't we take public comments to the PMB director?
No,
there's three items under
I see. Gotcha.
So, committee report? In the PMB.
You want to develop
anything?
The governance committee motion that reverted back to something that we implemented 2 years ago is what allows was a motion to allow up to 2 directors to serve on the committee, and so that passed. What other committee reports? Did we get to? There was another motion, I think. Oh, no, and then the other, we passed a few motions from the elections committee, because someone who's on elections can, do you remember what those, there were several? They had to do with the posting of the, for the election supervisor, and so that was passed. And Lawrence might remember what some of the other ones were.
And then just reaffirming, what the elections committee has passed before and submitted to the PMB, just reaffirming that. And Michael could probably go into more detail. And also the posting of a national election supervisor, which has been done.
Yeah.
So.
Thank you. Mike?
I didn't listen to the stream, but one of the motions from the elections committee was about the timeline of action that had to be taken to make sure the elections can take place as scheduled this year, 1 year late, which included the having the executive director make sure that the general managers of each station clean up the list of members, which is not only an election obligation, but California Corporation Code requirement that the foundation maintain a list of its members. So I'm wondering if any action was taken on that.
Yeah, that was passed. Those two motions were passed.
Mm-hmm. Rodrigo?
It's okay, yeah. Mr. Molly said it.
Any other committee reports? National committee reports? Okay, discussion.
Public comment.
If there's no discussion, is there any discussion from the body? Brenda?
Was there any further action taken in regards to the PD search committee?
Yep.
No, that's literally, you want to address that?
I'm sorry, what was that? Was there any further action taken related to the KPFK PD search committee?
No. Okay. Any other discussion? Okay, we'll go to public comment. Questions to the PMB director? Mm-hmm. You have 7.5 minutes?
No mics, right?
No mics.
Okay. Right. So, this is remarkable that at this stage, 2014, we have currently, thank you, Rodrigo, for sharing that with us, because I did not know, the three of the family stations for Civica have no current stable.
Four
stations are lacking general managers. Now,
three.
You said four, Lauren, which is report. Then we're really...
Yes, I'm going to have an interim.
Three. Just the same. We have five radio stations. And it is disgraceful. We are beyond moral. I mean, this is just too much to handle. Three stations. I don't think this is an accident. This is no accident. This is systematic. There was no accident that the elections in December last year were manipulated to the extent that were sabotaged. I've heard many excuses, and look where we are today. And we must have elections. I want EMS just removed. I want all paid staff immediately stopped, so that we can meet our obligations with the rest of the network, and so that, because KPFK apparently is the one that has been doing this for many years, we know that WBAI has been bleeding the network, and now there's too many issues. So all paid staff must be stopped, and these people must be reduced to 1 hour per week, so that I can hear socialism, atheism, my grandmother, my aunt, anybody that wants to have a different point of view about a radical analysis, geopolitical analysis on everything from A to Z must be given the opportunity.
Thank you, Billy. Next one. Go ahead, Roger.
Hi. I agree with him and second Bella's comments about diversification of programming in particular. And it seems to me that we are always having money problems, that we need to work on an ethic of having unpaid programmers that are of quality and are willing to do the work at the level it needs to be done to maintain the quality that we expect. And I think it's also necessary to shift some of our emphasis to the environmental concerns in a big way, because we are not doing enough scientific background so that listeners can make up their minds about what's going on at the national level about reaction and fixing the global climate change problems. We are not, obviously the current administration, national administration, is not doing anything as far as I can tell, or anything significant anyways. And it seems to me that, do we want a crisp planet? In other words, the end of the humanity and all living species or not? That's the question. It seems to me that we need to have some background and continuous and concentrated discussion of what's going on and what needs to be done as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to?
Yeah, I have a question to the directors and maybe to the members that were here. Last year I listened on the internet to the...
What is your name?
My name is John
Boyle.
I'm sorry, my name is John Boyle. I listened on the internet to to the national board meeting, and at first I was a little dismayed because it seemed like no one was listening to anyone else.
Yeah, right.
And then I realized that maybe they weren't all in the same room. I don't know how it's conducted. And then people were interrupting, and people are not talking in turn, and motions are being, you know, everybody got an opinion. And then finally, I just started laughing because it was actually it turned into a comedy. I literally started laughing in my chair listening to it. And then I saw something similar here happening, but not quite the same. Because here it's a little bit better. It's a lot better, actually. But I think that maybe what we ought to do is before the next election comes up, no one should run who doesn't know these Robert's rules. I don't know them. I don't know what they are. But I get the impression that very few people do. Mm-hmm. Because every time they can hear, he's talking, and no one has any control. Now, there are rules that govern how the meeting is supposed to be held. And if you don't know the rules, you probably don't belong here. And if you want to be here, and you really want to be here, you probably ought to take a little time and study those rules so that you can actually keep the radio station and the network going, if that's what you really want to do. So that was sort of question now to the directors is how do you propose to make these meetings a little less farcical and a little more productive?
Yeah. I just want to note, some of you haven't heard this before, at the very beginning of the KPFK project, and I'm the only one who's still around, who was active in, was the founder of the station. About six months before it went on the air, he was forced to resign or was fired, take your choice, over an issue of policy. One of them is still with us, why I mentioned this, namely what kind of relationship there be between individual station and the foundation or the other station. And that issue has really never been resolved in a total satisfactory way. For example, someone raised an anchor to a gym, the issue of what does the PNB have to do to tell us to do about the PD? Anyhow, I'm just pointing out, it's one thing to say we're not a business, a commercial business, and we shouldn't be. But it's another thing to say we don't run our affairs in a business-like, professional way. And by and large, it hasn't been. And we could get away with it years ago, but now with the change in the economy and the whole media market, so to speak, things are different, so tighter. I would like to hear more about the CPB funding. Are we getting it? And why not? Well, we should know something about this. Someone here knows about this. I'd like to hear. I'm not aware of what's really going on.
Nobody
also, more about the search for the ED. Was there someone running against it? Someone just to know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Reports of these things. And also, to invite the ED, to invite Summer, whom we all know, occasionally to come here and meet with us as well. Obviously, she can't be here all the time. The GM, the new interim GM, ought to be here all the time, one way or the other, in my opinion.
Right.
And I'd like to know, why did Bernard Duncan leave, and why did this other person get appointed?
Right.
There's no reason for these to be secret or private.
Right.
We're not asking for their private lives or their other things. But there's a lack of real communication, information, and of setting policy that makes sense. He says laughter. I laugh sometimes too, but I don't laugh because it's funny.
Thank you.
First of all, I'd like to thank all the members for supplying us with this financial information. And I'd like to ask the LSB to convey to the IGM that if the IGM cannot be here, we'd like to request a written report in his absence. Maybe I missed that. One of the things, too, is what Israel just mentioned, and that is about the CPB funding. I was listening to our ED on Late Night Roy's program mention that we're being phased out of our CPB funding,
right,
and that we'd be phased out by 2015. I think this should be told to people. And she mentioned on the air, I don't know if it's valid or not, that we were receiving funding under the Community Service Grant Program and that we're being phased out because we don't have enough listeners and we don't have enough listener contributions. If that is the case, I think we should let everybody know pretty clearly and leave it up to you how to do that. And on the programming, one of the other things, too, is I'm curious about what kind of financing we get from our affiliate program and what the impact would be on the income from the affiliates if we were to radically change or drop some of the programming that they're carrying. So I would like everyone to keep that in mind when they're talking about programming changes.
Thank you.
Carrie? Yeah, I decided to do public comment because I have some information that other commenters have been asking for. On the Pacific.org website, our details about the ED hire indicates the number of candidates that were considered and that the hire is finally finalized. And it was something like 20 other candidates that they still chose someone. On the CPB funding, what you heard on the air from the ED, I expect is accurate. Community Service Grant Program has always been based on, in part, on a radio station's measured audience. And the CTV, and there was a level at which the little stations could not get CTV funding because they were too small. But we're a big station, but our audience has gotten so low that we're falling below the CPB cutoff point. With regard to the affiliate program, Pacifica's affiliate program has never been a loser. It makes more money than it spends on affiliates. The affiliates program what they want. We have no control over their programming. And at this last PMB meeting, the affiliates director mentioned she had a green light from the ED to work with affiliates on a coordinated underwriting project in which the affiliates could opt in which the mass of affiliates and their various characteristics in various areas might be used in order to entice people and organizations who are compatible with what the affiliates are willing to accept for underwriting and spread it out. In other words, Pacifica would be a coordinator of the affiliates' buy-in on underwriting proposals and get a cut because of being the sponsor of the affiliates in that deal, which does not affect the Pacifica station. It would just primarily be in an affiliate program.
Thank you.
Quick stamp.
We're at time already on that.
I just wanted to request that this information be publicized, the CPB and other information.
We have 2 minutes for the directors to respond to public comment. The treasurer has more information.
Go ahead.
We'll do a minute.
Are you going to talk about the CPB?
Yes,
but
go ahead.
Well, I'll talk about it. I have talked about it many times with anybody who wants to listen. We will lose all of our CPB funding starting in 2015 exactly because our listenership and our donations are too low. We have been on a 3-year probationary period, and apparently management could not improve enough to warrant us continuing to get that grant. CTV does not feel we serve the public because our listenership is just flat out too small. That's the way it goes. And as for the affiliates, we're the administrator. Many smaller affiliates do take small underwriting. They just do. And so our affiliate director, as a service to our affiliates, will coordinate this program to make it easier for the smaller stations to participate in it.
Thank you. Michael, you
know, I'm always finishing sentences.
I think it doesn't work, but...